Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Good evening, New Zealand, and welcome to The Standoff, your rugby league show, which will bring you all the latest news, wrapping up of round 10 and a preview of round 11 here on New Zealand Sport Radio. I'm always joined here on a Wednesday evening by my fellow colleague, Mr. Brad Inger.
Good evening, Sanjay, and good evening to our listeners. The matches were a bit of a mixed bag this week, but I'm looking forward to talking about them tonight.
Yeah, look, we've got a few blowouts and a few close games, which was quite good to see as well. So, yeah, we've got definitely a lot to talk about. Like I said, we're here every Wednesday on Facebook. You can also catch us on our via our podcast, Brad.
Yeah, that's right. Just remember to search for New Zealand Radio Sport, at iHeartRadio.
And look, we'll cover off all the international news as well. We've got a little bit of that today, so we'll cover off what's happening internationally as well as in the women's game as well. So, hey, look, let's crack into the top stories of the week. Brad, what do we have first and foremost?
Yeah, we're talking about Tom Trbojevic. He had a little bit of a hiccup in the, training this week with his hamstring, and looks like he's going to be set back. Originally, it was reported his season could be over, but there was a late update today that it isn't that bad and he should be back by round 15.
Right, yes. He's certainly Manly have been waiting for him, but I guess even without his presence there, they managed to have a hard-fought victory versus the Eels over the weekend, which we will cover off a little bit later. So, Tommy, Turbo Tommy, they are desperately wanting him back. And obviously, he'll be, I guess, stroll straight into the Blues outfit along with his brother, who had an amazing game on the weekend. We've got a little bit to talk about him as well a little bit later on. So, we can't wait to see him back on the pitch, because he certainly did set, you know, the world on fire with his runs and his attacking ability late last season and early this season, Brad.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be good to see him back. Just make sure he comes back after the Warriors game.
But, well, yes, we'll cover off the Warriors a little bit later on as well, and we would like to see him back after the Warriors game. I mean, I don't know if it's going to make too much of a difference, to be honest, but we'll cover that off as well, ladies and gentlemen. So please stay tuned in here on New Zealand Sport Radio. Hey, look, Paul Green has also been
next.
Let go. Sorry, what was that? You go ahead, Brad.
Yes, to say the next big story was Paul Green no longer being the Cowboys head coach. He resigned after the game this week. Josh Hanna is the interim coach till the end of the year, and it'll be interesting to see who they're going to bring in to reinvigorate this team. I know Jonathan Thurston is interested in helping in some coaching capacity, but in terms of head coach, there's a lot of names. Anthony Griffin is a big name people are talking about. Be interesting. Paul Green, obviously, now he's got a lion's share of other jobs to pick as well. People are talking about him for the Warriors job, the Bulldogs. So could be some interesting time in the next couple of weeks. What was your thoughts about Paul Green dropping off?
Yeah, I think a couple of these decisions will be made. Like, obviously, Dean Pay last week, Seabold, well, we'll talk about him in a little bit. Obviously, Kearney being sacked earlier this year, and of course now Paul Green resigning. So, yeah, I don't know. Would they be looking at Stephen Kearney as a possible coach up there in North Queensland? I don't think so. But yeah, you never know. Like we should find the answers to those other remaining three clubs: the Warriors, the Cowboys, who else do we have? The Warriors, the Cowboys, and the Broncos. Yes, well, I mean, obviously that's a deal waiting to. We're waiting in the balance in terms of the next 10 games of the season. It's quite a really big call from the head guys at the Broncos. So we'll jump into that a little bit. But yeah, hey, interim coach Josh Hannay is keen for JT to help out up at the Cowboys. I don't know how much JT has sort of come out and said that he's willing to do or if he is available. So it'll be interesting to see. But they are a struggling side at the moment. And we'll cover off their game on the weekend as well. Going forward, we have SBW news for you Sonny Bill Williams fans out there. There are NRL teams that are keen for him to play because he is not able to play due to the Wolfpack's absence in the Super League this year. They have decided not to travel to the United Kingdom, and they will not be participating in that particular event this year. So SBW coming down under potentially, Brad?
Potentially, yes. There's quite a few teams that are interested. The Warriors, obviously, one of them. The Bulldogs. The Roosters are even interested. In the rumour mill, I heard that Sonny Bill, if he is interested, he's really only interested in playing for the Roosters.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. The Roosters don't really need him. I know Paul Gallen came out and said he's not the Sonny Bill that was there in 2014. I think if he was to play, it would be better if he was joining one of those bottom teams that are struggling. But with all the quarantine, he's basically only going to be there for the last five games of the round. And those teams like the Warriors, the Cowboys, the Bulldogs, five games to go, they've really got nothing left to play for.
It's just a waste of money.
It's a waste of money.
I mean, I think him coming to the Warriors is an absurd decision if he does come. I mean, he's not going to win us a premiership. He potentially won't even help us be able to win those five games. Yes, he is a fantastic player and has got a stellar career. And I'm sure that, you know, he's still held in very high regard. And I'm sure he will make a difference if he was there. But you have to ask yourself, is it worth the money to bring him over? What are the Warriors going to gain from it? He's not playing in front of the fans back here. So I would say it's a waste of money, to be perfectly honest. And I would say just give up on him, let another team have a crack at him. The likelihood is he'll play for an Australian-based franchise anyway. He has never shown an interest in playing for the New Zealand Warriors in the past, even though there has been a few questions that have been asked of him in terms of coming across the ditch. He simply is not interested, as far as I can see.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's highly unlikely you'll see him in Warriors jersey this year, or any year for that matter.
Exactly. And obviously moving on to another, top story, of course, and we've been having the Seibold story pretty much at the front of mind for the last few weeks now. And to be honest, people are starting to get a little bit sick of it. It's getting a little bit tired of hearing the same old, but basically from a five-year deal to a five-game deal is what they're saying. The head honchos at the Broncos are giving this Harvard graduate an opportunity to win five of the last 10 games to prove that he is worth having there next season. And that's a big call considering what he has done or what he hasn't done, I suppose, at the club. And we'll cover off a little bit more about him when we do cover off that Broncos thumping on the weekend at the hands of the Tigers.
Yeah, it's a bold call, but they've been needing to make a bold call for the last couple of weeks. Like you said, we've been talking about it every week, when's enough, and the performance we'll talk about in a bit, I guess, was the final straw for the board. And five games to save his job, to be perfectly honest, I don't see that happening. So it'll be interesting to see if they stick to their word and they cut him loose, take that hefty chunk of change that they're going to have to pay him to pay him out. But it'll be interesting to see if they do get rid of him, who they bring in.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, isn't it, Brad? Like, I mean, you change the coach mid-season. In what is a shortened season and a COVID season at that. So I don't know, what do you do? Do you sort of just let him play out the year, give up on the rest of 2020 because you're not going to win the premiership? try and give him another opportunity to say, hey, look, you've got the back end 10 to sort of prove your worth, prove why we have invested so much into you, and see what happens, really. But we'll just have to wait and see. We'll cover off a little bit more about Anthony Seibold and the Brisbane Broncos a little bit more later on, ladies and gentlemen, here on New Zealand Sport Radio. But that leads us into another fascinating story ahead of the second half of the season, Brad.
Yeah, so we've got the Panthers, the now top of the table Panthers. They got some injury worries ahead of their game against Gold Coast. Upi Coruscant's injured his elbow. There's no ETA on when he'll be back. They're hoping he'll just be a week and then he could be back. But Dean Fale and Dylan Edwards are out with thigh and hamstring injuries and are going to miss a few more games. So not that great for the Panthers, but I think they've got enough depth that they've shown with some of the young guys that step up to get them through the storm. But obviously they want their top stars back as soon as possible.
Yeah, it'll be interesting this one, Brad, because we've seen, like on the weekend, we've also seen the depleted Canberra Raiders take out the Roosters in a fantastic game at the SCG. We'll talk about that soon, folks. But yeah, what I think about the Panthers' injury worries is that a lot of the other top teams have been tested with injury concerns throughout this shortened season due to a number of factors. Obviously, we've talked about it early on, the new tackle rules and so forth, the game's going a little bit faster, etc. Apologies for that. And yeah, basically, like, I think that, you know, to see Upi Coruscant sidelined, let's just see what that does to their go forward, because he has been an influential player, probably the, you know, the buy of the season, and him and Cleary have just been wreaking havoc up there, up the middle. So it'll be interesting to see, like you say, they've got a bit of depth over there. Fari and Edwards, obviously not as important losses, but still they've been playing some good football as well. So it will be interesting to see how it has an impact on the Panthers side over the next couple of weeks, and maybe we'll see them drop a game or two. But at the moment, I do see the Panthers right up there, and we've got a special section a little bit later on today, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, where we're going to discuss our potential grand finalists after 10 rounds, and we'll discuss that a little bit later on. But Brad, you've got some news on the Walker brothers, I understand.
Yeah, so the Walker brothers were firming up as favourites to be the Warriors coaches for next year. It's cooled off a bit. I believe they've had an interview, but the Warriors are saying that nothing's set in stone. I think with Green now stepping down from the Cowboys, I think it's opened up the Warriors coaching pool again. So I think any decision's probably going to be pushed out further until the Warriors have spoken to him if he's interested in the gig or not. So I like the Walker brothers. I think that would be an interesting style for the Warriors. But it's a risky style, and I don't know if the owners will be confident enough to experiment when they're dead set on making sure this Warriors team starts winning.
Yeah, it's always a tricky one when you want a joint coaching team as well. I don't know if I'm a fan of it, to be honest. I mean, you want one man who possesses the skill, the experience, the tenacity to get the best out of the players. And two guys up there, I'm not saying it can't be done, but it just seems an odd thing to do. I know sometimes there have been joint captains, and I think at the Cowboys there was Spence and Thurston were joint captains, correct me if I'm wrong, for most of that 13, 14, and 15 seasons. But that was captaincy, and, I'm not a fan of it, to be honest. But, hey, look, I mean, it's not a decision that I have to make, thankfully. So we'll just have to wait and see if they get the nod. There is speculation that we should hear who is going to be at the helm of the Vodafone Warriors. We should hear within a month or so. So we'll keep you posted on that, folks. The other big news, of course, in terms of the coaching ranks, is Trent Barrett named as Bulldog coach from 2021 for a 3-year deal after he finishes his stint as the Panthers attack coach, Brad.
Yeah, that's right. So it was a pretty big rumor up until yesterday, and then the Bulldogs members actually got an email about 3 hours ago confirming it before it got released to the media. So it's all signed and delivered that he is now going to be the Bulldogs coach from next year. Obviously the Panthers attack's been going really well and he's helped with that, so they're not willing to let him go this year, so he can't go. But the Bulldogs had the double the double whammy of news when they announced that Nick Kotrick from the Raiders has actually signed with them too. So he'll be there next year, which
that's a big signing.
It is a big signing, yeah. So it'll be good for the Bulldogs. And I think getting Barrett now, they know they can actually start making some signings because they've got their future set. They're like, this is our coach. This is what we're planning. So they might be able to do some recruiting, which they need to do for next year.
Well, it's interesting because the first job that Trent Barrett is going to go out and try and achieve is he's actually going to try and get Corey Harawira-Naira back at the Bulldogs, staying at the Bulldogs as opposed to going to the Raiders, which he is destined for, apparently. Now, I was going to cover this off a little bit later on, but he has been coaching this fellow when they were at the under-20s at the Panthers. So they've got a good relationship. He knows him well. And he's come out and said the first thing he'll be trying to do is you know, keep his services at the club. And obviously, like, he's been on that suspension for, you know, those obscure events earlier on this year and basically had his contract ripped up. Well, he's wanting to get him reinstated ASAP. And just imagine that you've got Kotrick coming, you have Harawira-Naira, all of a sudden you've got Barrett at the helm. A few more changes there, less injury concerns perhaps next year, and they could be looking the goods in terms of starting to develop into a solid team.
Yeah, unfortunately, though, the Raiders have just announced that Corey is now effectively a Raider. So it's actually about half an hour. Yeah, about half an hour ago. So,
wow. There you go.
They've Bulldogs agreed to release him. So, unfortunately.
So could he be playing this weekend then, Brad?
He's still got, I think, another 2 weeks of his ban.
Right. Well, he'll make a big impact, I think, at the Raiders. That'll be good to see.
Yeah, the Raiders have got a pretty good forward pack, so I think adding him to it, helping Papali and all that out will help the Raiders. I know I've got a friend who writes Raiders reviews and stuff, and he's very excited about it. Still very upset about losing Kotrick, but he thinks Corey can add something to their team.
And speaking of the Raiders, we'll crack into our round 10 wrap-up, folks. And on Thursday night, we had the Raiders versus the Roosters in what was pretty much an upset at the Sydney Cricket Ground. The Raiders defeating the Sydney City Roosters 24-20 in a game of belief and a game of strong mentality on behalf of the Canberra Raiders and their coach, Ricky Stewart.
Yeah, I know Ricky Stewart came out after the game and said that throughout the week, no one gave them a chance to beat the Roosters. Admittedly, we'll talk about later in the picks. I didn't pick them. But they took it to them. They took them up the middle. The forwards dominated it, and they played an aggressive style, which I'm sure a lot of other teams will take note of. That aggressive style seemed to rattle the Roosters a bit, and you don't see the Roosters rattle that easily. So if you can rattle them by just playing physical football, I think we'll see a few more teams try to adapt that approach, and you might see the Roosters struggle against some of these top teams.
Well, it's interesting because the two forwards, Papali and Tapani, they just had a hell of a games on the weekend, didn't they? And now they're going to be joined by Harawira-Naira, and that's going to be a pretty solid front row. Even the Harawira-Naira doesn't play in the front row. It's going to be a pretty strong forward pack. You know, you get your captain and your skipper at Hodgson back at hooker, and see a Soliola back. Well, then you're going to have a hell of a team come 2021. So, and if of course not just 2021, in a couple of weeks, if he's able to play this season, then they will be having quite a forward pack to go for the rest of the rounds.
Yeah, I believe so. I think they've been a bit off and on the last couple of weeks, and I've been a bit harsh on them, but they showed some good resolve here, and I think a lot of teams will be worried about facing them now, especially you beat the Roosters, your confidence goes through the roof. So I think they'll build on this.
And Ricky's a good coach. Like, I think, you know, if you look at the coaches that there are in the NRL, he's actually a really good coach, and took them to a grand final last year. I believe he's won a premiership with the Roosters. Is that right?
He beat the Warriors.
He's been there, done that. He's coached. He's been in the coaching circles for quite some time. But yeah, it was basically him backing his lads this week. Like, you know, he actually really did back them by saying, I don't give a crap about what if people want to bag us. And that really lifted the team in terms of they knew that he had their back. So that's an important thing when your coach is really in behind you. It does make you play better on the weekend, I believe.
Yeah, definitely. I think if the coach is backing you, it gives you a little bit more oomph when you're out there on the field, because it's the coach that sees all the hard work you're doing during the week and preparing. So then the coach of all people should know if your guys are up to task. And yeah, as you said, Ricky's a good coach. His players seem to want to give it 110% for him every time they go out there. So great to see them step up. I know Trent Robertson was disappointed in the performance by the Roosters, said it was uncharacteristic of them. They made a few more errors than they normally would. And I'm sure I feel sorry for whoever's facing them this week, which is unfortunately the Warriors, because I think they're going to come out and set an example of that was a one-off bad performance.
Yeah, and just quickly before we move on to the Titans fixture against the Storm there, the Englishman George Williams had a great game. And, you know, the difference between he was asked of the difference between the Super League and NRL. And time again, we hear it. It's the pace of the game and the quality of personnel that you're playing against. So we really are discussing, you know, the best competition in the world here, folks, on New Zealand Sport Radio, your NRL Rugby League fix. Now we'll move on to Friday night's fixture against the Storm. We had the Titans going down 6 points to 42. The return of Cameron Munster and the Camerons really just pulled them apart, Brad.
Yeah, it was really just another day at the office for the Storm. The Titans, they started the game and looked like they were ready for a fight, but by halftime, it was just the Storm were just into another gear and the Titans couldn't keep up. Cameron Munster definitely is a welcome return. He really opened it up, and the forwards were just bullies. Nelson Soyola, he got his first double of his career, and unfortunately for the Titans, he was targeting Ash Taylor, and the size difference was laughable, and it was just too easy for him. So it's good to see the Storm go out there and actually put a team away that they should really put away. They didn't let the Titans think they had a shot.
Yeah, the Titans, they're the worst team up the middle, defending up the middle in the whole competition. And, of course, when you put someone like Asafa Solomona against Ash Taylor, the size difference, like you say, it's pretty much laughable. So they were just beaten badly up the middle. The Melbourne Storm, they exploited it well. And, yeah, there was just no coming back from that. Look, whilst it was a pretty much a expected result, Melbourne are just quietly going about their business and they're not making too many noises about it. No one's really talking about them. So these guys are a dark horse. They're always there, thereabouts, year in, year out. They're a very consistent side since entering the competition, I think, way back in 1999. I think Taronika, in fact, was part of that inaugural side. So they have come along in leaps and bounds even this year. After the first couple of rounds after COVID, they did have a couple of losses, namely against the Roosters and the Raiders, I believe, in back-to-back weeks. So, interesting. Cameron Munster's return, Cameron Smith playing better than he's played over the last couple of seasons, which is hard to believe. So, just watch the space in terms of the Melbourne Storm. But our second Friday night fixture, we had absolute thumping. The Tigers taking out the Broncos 48-0. And, you know, we had quite a lot to talk about this one, Brad.
Yeah, there's so much to talk about. The Broncos maybe just seem to be a broken
thing. A quick summary about where the Broncos are at.
Yeah, I think they're as far down as they've ever been. I think the one point in this game that highlighted how broken the Broncos are is Corey Oates, when he had that horrible leg injury where they thought it was a broken femur. It's not. He was lying on the ground completely on his own. So he was down in horrible pain. Not a single Broncos player went over to see if he was all right. I've played football for many years, and if one of your guys goes down and it looks really bad, at least the captain goes over and stays with them until medical assistance. So I think this team's broken. I don't know what they're going to do to fix it. Like I said earlier, Seabolt, I don't see him there next year. So whoever comes in has got a big task of getting this team back together.
Yeah, well, this is the Tigers' biggest win over the Broncos, and the Broncos are absolutely decimated. They were like garbage on the weekend, I'm sorry to say, but they were appalling. It was a reality check after beating the Bulldogs last week. If they thought that was going to rejuvenate their season or rejuvenate their spirits, they got another thing coming. That was just a win, a very scrappy, poor win against a very disappointing Bulldog side. So, the Broncos, they haven't really done anything spectacular all season. Ultimatum given to Seabolt, obviously. His contract at the end of 2022, I understand. I don't know how that's 5 years, but anyway. Win five of your last 10 games or you're gone. Look, I think that the writing's on the wall for him regardless. Even if he can win the last five games, they might just still get rid of him. Some of the stuff he's been criticised for this week, there's always something new. This week, the signing of Brodie Croft, he backed his own coaching ability and brought him across from Melbourne. He's not even making the starting side here in the Brisbane Broncos. God knows if he'll be an NRL player in the long term, and it looks like he isn't. So, again, you'd have to say that's a coaching error on behalf of Seabold and a costly one. He's not making the big calls, I guess, like Maguire is. Like, you know, this weekend, Anthony Milford, he's got to be dropped. He's just playing some really poor football. And, the scars are starting to appear for the Brisbane Broncos in terms of this starting to affect the younger generation of the club. They're having to come into one of their first seasons in this kind of environment. And that kind of lingers with you as a player. You know, like, I mean, obviously, you'd want to come into your first or second season, within an environment such as, you know, the Raiders or the Knights or the Storm or the Panthers or the Roosters. So, yeah, unfortunately for Brisbane, it's just going from bad to worse.
Yeah, and it's about how bad they're playing. The Tigers played really well. Billy Walters, he finally came back in to the side after playing the first couple of rounds. And he's a gun for a young player, and I'm sure he's got a little bit of stick he could give his dad after beating the Broncos, since his dad's a big Broncos.
And big scoring Broncos a try against them.
Yeah, exactly. And Benji Marshall. Try. Yeah, his first try. And Benji Marshall, and he came out and fired as well. And showing, I think it's good. For the Tigers, it shows those young guys that Maguire's a hard taskmaster, and if he doesn't think you're up to it, he'll cut you, like he did with Luke Brooks, like he did with Benji. But Benji's showing that, you know, he tells you what you've done wrong. He said, you keep missing tackles, you go away, you work on that. I don't think Benji missed a single tackle in this game or in the previous game when he came off the bench. So he's showing that he's worked it. So it shows that when those experienced players take it on the chin and go off and improve their game and then come back, it's showing those young guys the attitude you need, which I think is going to help the Tigers in the long run.
Yeah, obviously with Benji Marshalls, Walters, Brooks, Reynolds, Little and Dewey, they're developing into a solid unit there, and they've got a hell of a spine, this Tigers side. So keep watching them. Maguire, like you said, he's getting a lot of reps from his players. They're not afraid. He's not afraid to chop and chain, make the big, tough decisions, like you said. And he wants the perception of the club to change. Obviously, I think ninth place has sort of been their average over the last couple of seasons. He's certainly doing his damnedest to change that. And, of course, Harry Grant, a bit of a revelation and possibly, to some degree, their best player. He's a real crowd favourite, sorry. And, out of the Melbourne system as well. So, along with Billy Walters, you know, there is a bit of, bit to be told about that Melbourne environment, and players that come from there are generally of a good pedigree. So, let's... Let's keep an eye on those Tigers, who are getting closer and closer to sort of knocking over those teams between sixth and eighth spot. So, hey, look, moving on to the Saturday fixtures, we had the Dragons beating the Bulldogs, and which was, again, it was a victory for the Dragons, but very much a nothing game, Brad.
Yeah, it was a bit heartbreaking for the Bulldogs. It was 22-all with a few minutes to go, and then a wayward pass from them went all the other way and they lost the game. So it was heartbreaking. It looked like they were finally going to at least go to Golden Point and have a chance to win a game, but ultimately they're just the confidence. When your confidence isn't up, you make mistakes. Yeah,
so that was unfortunate for them. But hey, look, the Dragons keep their season alive on the other hand, and They bag another 2 points. It's going to be an interesting fixture this weekend for the Dragons. We'll cover that off in our round 11 preview. Obviously for the Bulldogs, Trent named as a Bulldogs coach. And like we talked about, he wanted to keep Corey Haro and Ira. He's not been able to do that. So let's see what he can do from next year onwards. But and for the rest of this season, he is the interim coach is just going to be in play. Is that correct, Brett?
That's correct, yeah. They're just going to let the interim coach take look over everything. Trent's going to be able to have a bit of a hands-on in the background about where they're going to go for next year. But, yeah, as just in discussions, not actually doing anything on the field for them. I think it's a good signing. I think I listened to one of the NRL shows about as bad as the Bulldogs have been this year, you can't deny that they got heart in their defense and they're just attacking spark, which Barrett has shown that the Panthers is something he can give them. So if he can keep that same defensive pressure and mindset that they've got now, add his little spark in there on attack, they could actually turn themselves around next year.
Well, yes, let's see what happens to the Bulldogs. They're in dire straits along with the Broncos and even the Warriors, you'd have to say, ladies and gentlemen. So we'll just have to keep an eye on them. On the flip side, we had the Rabbitohs and the Knights going head-to-head, and which was pretty much the closest game of the round. Even beforehand, they were $1.95 playing $1.85 at kickoff. And unfortunately for myself, the Knights have stolen the show, Brad. And this is just an absolute shocker on my behalf, because I had picked the Rabbitohs, even without Latrell Mitchell, to come away with the points. And I needed that to try and get one up on you. But unfortunately, the Knights have they've come away with it after Caelan Ponga played a magnificent game, setting up a few tries. And yeah, it was just back to his attacking best, really.
Yeah, I think the only issue you could have with Ponga was his goal kicking. He missed three conversions, which ultimately, if that game was an extra couple of minutes longer, could have cost them. I picked the Knights on this one because Latrell wasn't playing, and you could really see that the Rabbitohs missed him. He's not always out there scoring tries, but he's just that little linking piece and helping set up tries, which was something they lacked quite a bit of. But I think something that we've been talking about the last few weeks with the Rabbitohs is, as you saw in the last 15 minutes when they just hit three tries back to back and then had a fourth disallowed, they can score points, they just can't hold on to the football. That's their biggest issue. They keep dropping it, making silly passes. So they've got attacking nous there. Wayne Bennett's just got to sort something out with their hands. Simple as that. They just need to learn how to hold the ball.
Yeah, Damien Cook obviously had his best last quarter of the game, really. Last quarter, his last best 20 minutes of his season, I guess you'd have to say, in that defeat. But hey, look, they're missing a few players as well. And they'll be getting those back as well. So obviously besides Latrell, I think there's a few little injuries there as well. So we'll keep you updated on that as well as the season goes on. But they're looking a 50-50 side, the Rabbitohs. I had big hopes for them this year earlier on in the season. I really did. But unfortunately, they've gone down in these close encounters. And obviously, a little bit of ill discipline has put, Latrell on the sideline. And perhaps it could have cost him the 2 points in this one. But, hey, a good win for the Knights. They were up 20-0. So, it could have really been a disaster to have lost from that position, but they've held on. I think now that's two wins in two games after that disappointing trip north a couple of weeks ago for the Knights. So they've got their winning streak back on track. And that leads us into, there was just one other thing about that game. There was something that was going on in the papers about a Pearson Ponga Pash. Now, I don't know what's going on over there, but something was also, what was it? What was all that about, Brad?
When Ponga scored his try, and everyone goes and gives the high fives and the hugs after you score, Ponga gave Pierce a kiss on the cheek. It was the biggest talking point from the game. It's not the first time it's happened. I think they showed on Matty Johns's footy show at the end of the week. They did a montage of all the times players have kissed each other on the cheek after scoring. There was one of Maddie and his brother Andrew doing it as well.
Also one of Benji and Scotty Prince back in the Tigers.
They used to do it quite a lot.
Yes, so it's wow, it's creeping into the game. So yeah. We'll have to, just one of those things, I guess. Bit excited, heat at the moment kind of thing, and Ponga laid one on him. So good on him.
Yeah.
We'll go into our other Saturday fixture, which was the Sea Eagles versus the Eels of the match of the upset of the round, at least in terms of the result. Manly going invictus, 22 points to 18. Against Eels, who have basically been in the number one spot for 117 days now. So, yeah, really going into second spot, Brett Arthur was not happy. Conceded three tries in the 10 to 12 minute period at the start there. Attitude wasn't there at the start. Soft performance. He was fairly blunt and annoyed, to be honest, with you, Brad.
Yeah, and I think he should be. I think the biggest problem, I know he came out and said it wasn't that they took their eye off the ball, but I honestly think the players thought the game was over before it even started, going, oh, no Tommy Turbo, Manly looked horrible last week, they're not going to be able to play us. And I think the Sea Eagles kind of knew that people would have that feeling, and I think they wanted to prove a point that besides not having their best player, they could still go out there and play with the best. And despite the lack of star power, they just played with grit and determination, and that's what got them through. Jake Trbojevic, what can you say about him? He plays his heart out every time, but he had a great game. And Cherry Evans had one of the better games I've seen from him in a while. I know there was a lot of pressure on him last week, that it's not the Tommy team. He's a high caliber player, and he needs to pull his weight. And I think... he actually stood up and led the team, and
he showed his class on the weekend. This week Hasler had sort of kept him away from the media, kept him focused, started talking to him on a on a personal level, and this is what good coaching can do to a player or to a team. And Des Hasler, he's another fantastic coach. He's won premierships. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think he's won them with the Bulldogs. He basically just, took Cherry Evans away this week and said, hey, listen, I don't want you to listen to all of that stuff that's going on in the media. I want you to focus on the task at hand. He's a world-class player, and he laid on a world-class performance. But, yeah, just about Jake Trbojevic, I mean, he is a phenomenal athlete, really. Like, he could basically play at 13 or 6, and that's for Manly or for the New South Welsh side or for the Kangaroos, for that matter. I think he'd slip into all three along with his brother. He's pretty much the stalwart at that club, and he proved on the weekend that he's definitely a world class player. And it was a good win for the Sea Eagles in the respect that they have still got an opportunity to prove something this year. So they really needed a performance like that, particularly after some really bad losses by teams that had just completely annihilated them because of their injury woes. So I'm happy for the Sea Eagles coming away with the points.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was a good shot on the arm for them for confidence, and they will hopefully go on from that. But that takes us to the first game on Sunday, which was the Sharks defeating the Warriors 46-10 in a performance. You could basically say it was the Sean Johnson show. What were your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, obviously, very disappointing game from the Warriors. Sean Johnson had a cracker of a game. I really liked the 100-meter try that he laid on for one of his outside backs. He basically, I think, two or three try assists, 7 from 8 with the boot, a try himself. He really directed play well. He's now played well for the last two to four games, I'll say. And I'll say it's pretty much come after that Cooper Cronk comment that sort of basically said he was firing blanks. So, he's starting to, gel a lot more with Townsend and his outside backs at that club. It was always going to take a little bit of time. And I think he's starting to find his niche over there. Again, is it a fantastic performance from the Sharks or a disappointing performance from the Warriors? I would have to say the latter. The Sharks were always expected, perhaps to beat the Warriors. I picked the Warriors purely on, loyalty. I'm not going to make that mistake twice. I think that I've been too loyal and I've lost out a game to you on the pick. So it's two games that I'll be behind at the end of this round. But, yeah, I think that the Sharks played well. I don't think their defense was impressive in the win. But the Warriors just weren't in the race.
And I think, Yeah, I think that it's the cliche that if the forwards win up front, you win the game. And I think that was put on display here with the Sharks forwards. They didn't have Fifita, which was a huge loss, but all their players stood up and they just bullied the Warriors and let the Sharks backline have fun. And you could see it, they were laughing and joking around like it was training, and everything was going right for them. And
pretty much.
Yeah, the Warriors, I don't know. I know Todd Payton came out and labelled them soft, and I think that's a pretty fair description. They had no attack. The defence was woeful, and something that's been really concerning for me the last few weeks is their in-goal defence. We've seen quite a few tries against the Warriors where teams are putting a grubber through, and the Warriors seem confused on what to do with the ball there. And
well, they're not an organized backline, are they?
No. You know? And
that's the problem. So, you know, like when you're playing, sorry, Brad, you go on.
No, as I say, I think in that circumstance, I know they want to try to get that seven tackle set instead of just giving the ball back. But I think at the moment, especially when you're looking at the score that they were having against them, just dive on the ball or kick it out or do something just to make sure another try doesn't get scored.
Yeah, look, I mean, hey, look, there's a raft of concerns at the Warriors at the moment. And I think if we try and fix everything in 1 week, we're going to be hugely unsuccessful. I think it's going to take a while for this club to sort of get back to where we want them to be and potentially even to a premiership contender. It might take a year or two before we even get to that level. But, you know, there's always something that sort of drags the Warriors back down to reality, even after perhaps a couple of good years. We always seem to just go in a negative direction by the end of it. Like even with Kearney, at the end of his tenureship, he ended up at 38 or 39%. We just hope that the next coach or the next coaching team, whoever that may be, can really make a difference at this organisation. It's a proud organisation. We've been going on for some 25 years. The other teams that have joined the same time of us have won premierships, except for the Gold Coast. So, you know, our time is coming. But, yeah, just a matter of when, 2030 or 2050. So, hey, look, we'll leave the Warriors for the time being, and we'll head on to the rest of Sunday's fixtures. We had the Panthers beating the Cowboys in the last of round 10's clashes. And, you know, no surprises here. Panthers coming away with the points, 22 points to 10. After the big news that obviously that Paul Green will be leaving the Cowboys.
Yeah, so it's the fifth win in a row for the Panthers, and Cowboys
showed top of the table as well, yeah. After that win.
Top of the table, the Cowboys showed spirit and got a whole bunch of inexperienced guys, and they gave them more of a fight than I thought. The Hammer, I can never pronounce his name properly. It's Hamiso Tabao Fidal. So I mean, the young guy that they got at fullback, he got a try of the match, or try of the year contender, sorry, where he evaded five Panthers on the way to the try line, just a solo try on his own. So it's good to see they got some young talent there that they can develop. And hopefully they can keep sticking around. So there are some good signs there for the Cowboys for the future. It's just the present isn't great for them right now.
No, the cracks are appearing at the club. And, of course, Jason Taumalolo, he can't do everything on his own. He just turns up week after week, and he's a genuine leader and a genuine champion of this North Queensland side. And, hey, look, we'll just have to see what happens in terms of the captaincy when a new coach comes in. But, I'd potentially be heading with Taumalolo to skip of the side. He's got a good following, and you know, I think that would be a wise move for the new captain, for the new coach to continue.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the Panthers are I think now the standout team. I think you can say they're set the platform of what you're going to expect for the rest of the year. And Nathan Cleary is going from strength to strength. They don't panic under pressure. If a team's giving them a bit more resistance than they expected, they just go. They know the game plan. They just stick to it and know that points will come. And that's what we saw on Sunday.
And that wraps up round 10, ladies and gentlemen. And after 10 rounds of football, we are halfway through the regular season. And the table looks a little bit like this. Brad, do you want to take us through the top eight?
Yeah, so the top eight, we've got the Panthers, as we just said, in first place, followed by the Eels, the Storm, and the Knights for the top four, closely followed by the Roosters, the Raiders, the Tigers, and the Rabbitohs.
Yeah, and the bottom half of the draw looks like this. We've got the Sharks, Sea Eagles, Dragons, and Cowboys in 9th through to 12th spot. We've got the Warriors at 13th, 14th, the Broncos, 15th, the Titans, and, of course, the Bulldogs, who expect to get the wooden spoon this year, in 16th spot. Now, look, just out of those teams that are just on the fringe of the eight, I believe genuinely that we've got 9, 10, and 11. I believe that those three teams are still contenders for the eight. So I'm saying from here onwards that teams from 12 onwards are no chance of making the top eight. So that includes the Cowboys, Warriors, Broncos, Titans, and the Bulldogs. I still believe the Dragons, Sea Eagles, and the Sharks have an opportunity. And I'm very interested to see what happens with the Dragons in particular. That is my dark horse so far of 2020. I had a feeling about them earlier on when they were getting shellacked and McGregor was getting pulled apart and the club was going in a downward spiral. He made some changes. You know, we've got obviously Hunt coming in the hooking position. And in the fullback, we've got Dufty. So, like, they are playing some good football. They had a win against the Bulldogs. So it'll be very interesting to see where the top eight finally lands. But as it stands right now, that's the table there, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Yeah, which that may as well go into our round 10 picks and our overalls. So you got 5 out of 8 this week, not too great. And just snuck through with 6 out of 8. So I got one ahead of you, which was that night's Rabbitohs fixture. So that gives us our running total. You've got 37 out of 56, and I've got 40 out of 56. So I've got a little bit of a lead on you.
Yes. Yeah, look, I was unfortunate that I dropped a couple of games, but I did take a bit of a punt there and a silly choice in the Warriors. The loyalty got the better of me, but I think I have to start realizing now that, unfortunately, they are not going to be there or thereabouts come finals footy. We'll go on to some viewer questions if we have any there, Paul.
Not really, but Simon has pointed out, yeah, that... the New Zealand Herald has backed up those rumours around the Sonny Bill Williams, the Roosters, and just an hour ago put an article up. Nothing confirmed. It's just rumours.
He's going to be signed for the last four rounds.
So, a question for you guys, is there a minimum number of rounds that he has to play to be eligible for the final series?
No, he can come in and play. Nah. He can come in and play the final series alone if they wanted to. As soon as you sign a player and the contract states that he can start immediately, then he can play one, two, or all the rest of the games of the season. So, yeah, look, I mean, to be honest, the most wisest move I believe Sonny Bill could make, and this is what I would be doing if I was him, I'd be going for one of those teams that is not looking the strongest at the moment, but one that could potentially win it. And it's almost set up for him to go to the Roosters. Let's be honest, that's his club. After the Bulldogs, he played at the Bulldogs when he started, but as of at his later stages of his NRL career, he was at the Roosters. He won premierships, I think, with the Roosters, and they are not performing at the level of some of the other clubs right now. So you might see him at the Roosters, and that might just give them that edge to try and win a premiership.
I mean, for me, the only reason for him to come back and play is to try and get a premiership title to add to his. There's no point coming back. He's got to be going for a title team. Let's be honest, he didn't leave the Bulldogs on good terms when he left, did he? You say Roosters is his team, so that's where he would go.
I'd say he'd end up there if he comes to the NRL.
Yeah. Jordan asks, why are so many coaches losing their jobs during an already bad economic time?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not too sure. The timing sucks, but it's performance driven. So
I don't think it's I think Brad's right. It's nothing to do with the timing, it's just the performances have been woeful from those clubs.
But I guess it's
can clubs really afford for coaches just kind of their contracts at the end of the season? I guess you can do, but for those longer contracts, yeah, can they really afford it? And I guess, is this standard for NRL? I'm not a league follower, well, so would you normally expect to see four or five coaches losing their jobs in a season?
No, you probably wouldn't expect to see four or five coaches lose their jobs in a season. That's abnormal. But one thing I will say that is, I think, fairly normal, like with Anthony Seibold, like the longer he stays in this role, the more harm I think he's going to cause the club long term. And the club will then ask itself, the money that they have to pay him, is it worth it to sacrifice that harm, if that makes sense, Brad? Do you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
They're committed to paying him financially, but if they buy him out, would that serve the club better in the long run because of the stigmatism left by such an individual? I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. That's what I think about it.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think they've just got to weigh up the pros and cons. Is it easier to just cut the limb off and save the body, or just let it fester, which is a horrible way to say it, but that's kind of the situation the Broncos are in right now.
So there you go, Jordan. It's down to performance. It's not down to economics. I'll hand the show back to you guys.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. Before we move on, I've got a question for you, Sanjay. So if it was all over now, who do you think would be in the grand final this year? And of those two teams, who did you think will win?
Well, at the moment, as it stands right now, if it was 10 rounds of football and then we had the grand final this weekend, without a doubt, it would be the Panthers versus the Melbourne Storm. Now, I know that's a bit of a shock considering the Eels are in second spot. We've also got the Roosters and the Knights nearby. But I genuinely believe that this Melbourne side has played some amazing football over the last 4 or 5 weeks. Cameron Munster is now back. Cameron Smith is firing on all cylinders. Yeah, I'd say a Panthers-Melbourne final this weekend, with the Panthers taking out the premiership, if it was to be this weekend. What about yourself, Brad?
Nice. We've got one thing in common. We've both picked the Panthers, but I've gone with the Raiders instead of the Storm. Ultimately, with the Panthers winning.
The Raiders, wow.
I do like the point. We were just talking about Sonny Bill and the Roosters, but neither of us think the Roosters right now would be in the grand final. So it'd be a waste of time for him to come over and get that title. But I think the Panthers. Yeah, well, the Raiders have already got some good players, but I don't know. I don't know how they're working with the cap for this. But.
No, but you're right. I think at the moment, if you've been watching the rugby league, if you've been following the NRL for the first 10 rounds, you clearly see that the Panthers are, the team to beat at this stage. Yes, the Eels have obviously had a great run, 6 in a row, 117 days at the top, but that's come to an end on the weekend against Manly. And of course, the Panthers, I think they gave them a great hiding a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, look, we'll go into round 10 preview before we wrap things up for you here on New Zealand Sport Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on The Standoff with Sanj and Brad. So round 10 sees us kick off on Thursday night. We've got the Eels versus the Tigers. $1.35 plays $3.25 at Bankwest Stadium in Sydney. Brad, how do you see it?
Yeah, I think the Tigers been good, but I think the Eels will itch them out here.
Yeah, I think how angry Brad Arthur was, they better win on the weekend because he won't be a happy man if they come into the training sheds after the game having lost against the Tigers. I think, the Tigers are on the improve. I think it'll be quite close, you know. It's a traditional derby, you know, the Parramatta's Eels versus the Tigers. It's a clash it's a local derby as such. So it'll be interesting to see that game on Thursday night. I think I'm going the Eels for that one as well. On Friday, we've got two fixtures. The first one is Cowboys versus Manly. Cowboys paying $2.25 to Manly's $1.65. I see the Cowboys going down after Paul Green's resignation, and with the club in a little bit of disarray and cracks starting to appear, I see Manly taking this one out, Brad.
Yeah, I'm the same. I think Manly showed some good form last week, and the Cowboys are...
Are you there, Brad?
Yeah, I'm here. So, yeah, I'm going with Manly.
Right, sorry, just lost you there momentarily. So, Manly to take out that one on the weekend. Leading into Friday's second game, no-brainer here. Melbourne Storm up against the Brisbane Broncos. If you're a betting man, they are paying $7 for the dollar for the victory. So go and put your hundreds of dollars on the Brisbans, you loyal, passionate Brisbane supporters, go you good things and get the money down, because you'll be paying, you'll be getting paid in dividends if they can come away with the drinks on the weekend, Bradley.
Yeah, I think the only way the Broncos will win this is if the Storm don't make it to the stadium. So I'm going with the Storm here. There's no way. I'll eat my hat if they lose this one.
Now, you raised an interesting point earlier, and I want to bring it up right now. You were talking about 100 points. Now, with these odds, mate, that's definitely on. We've got the Warriors paying $10 to the Roosters, $1.05 for a victory against the Roosters. Now, I don't think they're going to beat the Roosters, but $1.05 suggests to me that we're in for a hell of a pounding at the hands of the Roosters on Saturday. How do you see it, Brad? What are we looking for? What are we looking at?
I don't think it's going to be pretty. I think the playing the Roosters at the best of times is hard, but playing the Roosters that just lost, it's not good. Thankfully, it's at Central Coast Stadium instead of playing in Sydney City. But yeah, I don't think the Warriors are going to be coming out of this one looking good.
Well, look, it doesn't look too promising. But we move on to the other Saturday fixture. We've got the Sharks versus the Dragons, and which I'm calling one of the games of the round, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very much waiting for this one. And I'm taking the Dragons at $2 versus the Sharks at $1.80. Brad, I know that you've gone for the Sharks on this one, but I'm going to back the up-and-coming Dragons side, and I'm going to back Hunt and Dufty to do the job against Johnson and Moylan.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good matchup. A few weeks ago, you would have just told this down as an easy win for the Sharks. But yeah, picking the Dragons isn't a bad option. They do have the talent to get there, but I think the Sharks, buoyed from the confidence after their win against the Warriors, will just edge them out.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a win against the Warriors, mate. I mean, how much confidence are you taking away from that? I mean, you know, mind you, the Dragons just edged out the Bulldogs, so... It is a battle for that eighth spot, I guess you could say. So it'll be an interesting one. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to seeing if the Dragons, you know, if they can make the top eight, you know, that'd be awesome for where they were at the start of the season. We're talking about all this negative stuff all the time. The Warriors with Kearney departure and the way that they're playing and all the raft of issues. They've got the Seabold saga up in Brisbane, the Dean Pay fiasco down at the Canterbury Bank Stadium. But this is one of the better stories, the Dragons coming back after a horrid start to the start of the season. So one of the more happier, joyous occasions that we can enjoy, and that is the Dragons. So let's see if they can pull one out against the Sharks. That leads us into Sunday, Brad. What do we have first and foremost on Sunday afternoon?
We've got the Raiders paying $1.50 against the Rabbitohs. I've gone with the Raiders in this one. I think the Rabbitohs, until they figure out how to hold on to the ball, they're going to struggle, and the Raiders looked really good last week, so it's hard to not pick them this week.
Brad, I'm also going for the Raiders, okay? I'm not picking the Rabbitohs again this week, because they've let me down in a couple of weeks now, and Latrell, I don't see them getting past this Canberra side. I think that at GIO Stadium, Canberra are going to be very strong. Obviously that narrow horror and Ira can't play just yet, but man, if he could play this weekend, that'd be awesome. But that leads us into Sunday's the final game of the round. We've got the Knights up against the Bulldogs again. No surprises here. $1.13 to the Bulldogs, $6. Hey, look, I don't think there's much to be said about this one, except for how much are they going to win by? What are your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, same here. I think the Knights will win this one quite easily. So it'll be interesting. We've actually got another game left.
Sorry, my mistake. Yes. I've forgotten, but I have indeed.
Which I'll go into now, but you've forgotten it because it's already a result, I think, which is the Titans paying $7 against the top of the table Panthers paying $1.10. So you forgot it because the Panthers have probably already won it.
Yes. Fair enough. It's going to be, I think, a one-sided affair, that one. Of course, we're going to have to see a Penrith with no Coruscant, no Farre, and no Walker. So it'll be interesting to see how they get on with their injury concerns. But I don't think that that's going to be a factor in the result. I think that they've got enough depth there. Cleary's still on the pitch. Bulk of their team is playing well. So their go forward is just unstoppable at the moment. So go the Panthers. And so obviously for round 10, the only difference is that Dragons and Sharks game, we're picking pretty much the same throughout. So there's not an opportunity for me to take over this week, but there is an opportunity for me to gain one back up on you as I am three behind. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see at the end of round 11 where we stand. In the overseas game, Brad, just a little bit around the Toronto Wolfpack again.
Yeah, so the Toronto Wolfpack have ruled themselves out of the rest of the Super League season. I know officials aren't happy with the late notice, but as Simon is kindly put up here for us, they had no help from the Super League. There's been a lot of complaints from clubs about the Super League with their lack of communication. I think they've been pointing at the NRL and Peter Vallandi, who was constantly talking with the clubs and to the public about what's happening. Where Super League, as we've said the last few weeks, they're going, I think they're starting. I don't know when they're starting. I don't know who's playing. That's not because I haven't been looking. That's because the officials up Northern Hemisphere haven't been giving information. So that's played a big factor in them pulling out, and financially as well. There's rumors that they might not be included next year. They might be dropped down to the championship as a kind of punishment from the officials, which will be interesting to see what happens. But as Simon said, there was a lack of certainty over the promotion relegation, but the Super League's come out and said there'll be no relegation this year, which is good for those clubs. And yeah, obviously Wolfpack players have been given permission to go and find a job for this year, which is why the Sunnyvale stuff's all been talked about.
And we'll keep you updated on that, ladies and gentlemen. Next week and the following, we'll keep you updated. But I think that pretty much wraps it up here on New Zealand Sport Radio for another week. Thank you for joining us here on The Standoff with Brad and Sanj here for Season 1, Episode 8. We really enjoyed your company, and we hope you tune in next time. Thank you very much, and good evening.
Good evening.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.